I'm going to share with you the introduction to the Seven Commandments. We have dissected each of the three codicils that comprise this sweeping introduction in previous programs. So I'm just going to summarize them, and then we'll move on to the first commandment, the first instruction, which is the most important, which is the summary and the summation of Yahweh's entire plan of salvation. This begins, and this is going to be Exodus 20, verses 1 through 7. And God conveyed all of these words, providing perspective in our presence, saying, I am Yahweh, your God, who relationally brought you out and delivered you from the realm of the crucible of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not exist with other gods in proximity to my presence. You shall not prepare or produce for yourselves accordingly a carved image or idol or any visual representation of something which is in the heavens above or which is on the earth below or is in the waters beneath the land. You shall not bow down and worship them or speak for them, and you shall not serve them or minister on their behalf. For indeed, I, Yahweh, your God, am a zealous and jealous God, who is desirous of exclusivity in our relationship, reckoning the perversity and sin of twisting and distorting, perverting and manipulating the way of the fathers upon the children, concerning the third and fourth generations of those who are hostile to me. But I will prepare and perform, I will deliver unmerited and unfailing mercy, unearned favor, and undeserved kindness to thousands who love me and who closely observe, carefully examine, revere, and keep my commandments, my instructions, and prescriptions for living. You shall not, therefore, lift up, support, or advance, forgive, or dignify, respect, or tolerate through the name or reputation of Yahweh, your God, accordingly, lifeless and worthless deceptions or devastating and destructive falsehoods. For Yahweh will not forgive or leave unpunished those who deceive, beguile, or delude, using clever trickery to mislead in association with his name, to promote vain and ineffectual lies, which lead to lifelessness and destruction, or devastating destructions, deceptions which nullify our existence, leading to emptiness and nothingness. So with this, the divine introduction is complete. We have learned that Yahweh is God's name, his one and only name, and that he alone is God. He is our Savior, the one who liberates us from religious and political oppression, from works-based salvation schemes, and most of all, from judgment. Our very existence is predicated on forming an exclusive relationship with him. We will not exist if that relationship is with the God of our own making or is not singular. Yahweh is opposed to the creation of religious imagery, to us bowing down in a religious setting, to us ministering on behalf of false gods. Yahweh is emotional and possessive. He is intolerant of infidelity. God was so sure that his creation would corrupt his word, he warned us that twisting and manipulating his testimony would be devastating to our children. As a preemptive strike against Pauline doctrine and against Christianity, he declared that he is merciful, and that he would personally do everything which is required to deliver this gift of undeserved favor, of unmerited forgiveness to thousands, directly contravening the letters Paul wrote and the religion of Christianity. But this gift is only for those who love God and who carefully observe his instructions. And where do we find his instructions? in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms? And where are those instructions most effectively summarized? In these accounts that we are now examining, in the one written testimony that Yahweh inscribed himself with his own hand. Those who do not carefully observe them, this instruction, and come to know the God who is revealed in them, as well as the path to him. Those who focus on what God actually said and come to know him as he is and love him for what he has done will be the beneficiaries of his mercy. And those who do not, those who twist his testimony, as the religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam do, will not only condemn themselves, they will condemn their children. Yahweh tells us that promoting lifeless deceptions in his name and reputation is an unforgivable sin, replete with an appropriate punishment, which is eternal separation. The victims of such delusions, those who accept them, will cease to exist, their souls dissipating into nothingness. This profoundly important introduction is then followed by seven commandments, as we have discussed. And they are presented in the usual 6+1 formula, emblazoned in Yahweh's plan of salvation. The first of these three, therefore, the first of these seven, therefore, focuses on Yahweh's Sabbath, which is all about the promise of seven. And so it is that we will devote the remainder of our program today to understanding the Sabbath. In just a quick overview, Exodus 20, 8 through 11, without the benefit of the Hebrew, reads, "Remember the Sabbath. Remember that the Sabbath day is set apart for purifying and cleansing, and thus is special. 6 days you shall work and do everything regarding your service of representing the messenger and proclaiming the message, but on the solemn promise of the seventh day, the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim, your God, you shall not do any part of the work of God's representative and heavenly messenger, yourselves, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servants and employees, nor your means of production, nor those visitors who relationally are in your home, property, or community. For indeed, in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and the seas and all that is in them, and he became completely settled during the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed and adored. He knelt down and lowered himself to greet those he had created and lifted them up on the Sabbath day, setting it apart, dedicating it to separation, to cleansing, and to purifying." Well, there are life lessons in that, just in a simple overview, before we drill down on each word and before we examine how all of this relates to the totality of Yahweh's message. So as promised, Yahweh's spiritual representative and heavenly messenger has accomplished everything which was required to ransom and reconcile us on the Sabbath. In this case, the Sabbath of Matzah, a special Sabbath, regardless of which day of the week it falls. But of course, in 33, in the time that he fulfilled this promise, the Sabbath of Matzah was also a weekly Sabbath. Therefore, God has asked us to rest and to reflect upon what he has done on this day to settle our debts and to settle us in his home. You see, matzah is all about settling our debt. and therefore it is a special Sabbath, and therefore it was fulfilled on a Sabbath by Yeshua in the spring of 33 CE. All of which enables us not only to be born anew as God's children on Bikurim and enter the doorway of Passover into God's home, but ultimately the seven steps that comprise Yahweh's festival feast, his called out assemblies, the Moed Mikre, conclude in a day called shelters, where we camp out with God, symbolizing God's home, his family, symbolizing returning the relationship and conditions of our renewed life back to Eden, to paradise. We are to return from whence we began. We are encouraged to remember, being mindful of the fact that Yahweh personally liberated us from the crucible of religions and religious oppression, from political tyranny, working for our salvation and delivering us from judgment. And he did so by kneeling down to us, diminishing himself to lift us up, cleansing and purifying us on the Sabbath. Remember this. Remember all of this. That Yahweh knelt down and lowered himself to greet those he had created, lifting them up on the Sabbath, setting it apart, dedicating it to separation, to cleansing and purifying. Understand, remember, memorialize the solemn promise of the seventh day. And yet, Jews make a mockery of it with a list of 1,000 things you can't do, none of which have any relevance whatsoever. Christians have ignored it and substituted Sunday, the Lord's Day, the religious day of Babylon and sun god religions the world over. It is a crying shame. Imagine being God. You etched this instruction in stone. You explained it. And you warned in the introduction that twisting and perverting his word would have tremendous and terrible consequences. And that those who teach deceitful dogmas would not be forgiven. And then you find that your instructions, your first instruction to man, is convoluted to the point there isn't one person in a million who remembers the Sabbath the way that you established it. Not one in a million. Ah, make you so mad. Extraordinarily sad that God has done all of this for us, made this so abundantly clear, and yet man's religions have mucked it up so as to separate millions upon billions from God. Of course, Paul wrote that the Sabbath was irrelevant, that you couldn't please God by observing the Sabbath or his feasts and thereby condemning billions of people to their own destruction. Now, fully amplified, the longest and most detailed of God's seven instructions reads, remember, it is from Zakar, recall, reflect upon, recognize, mark, memorialize, mention, proclaim, and be earnestly mindful of the fact that the Sabbath day, Sabbath is based on Shabbat, the seventh day, the time of observance, of rest and reflection on God's promise to settle our debts so we could settle down with him on this seventh day, which is set apart, is Kadash. It is separated unto God for purifying and cleansing and thus special. So that first sentence again, remember Zakar, recall, reflect upon, recognize, mark, memorialize, mention, proclaim, and be earnestly mindful of The fact that the Sabbath, the seventh day, the time of observance, of rest, to reflect upon God's promise to settle our debts so that we can settle down with Him on the seventh day, is set apart. It is separated for purifying and cleansing in the special. 6 days you shall work, abad, labor, and do, ashah, prepare and produce, fashion and finish, advance and assign, accomplish and institute, even celebrate all of your service of representing the messenger and proclaiming the messenger, malacha, proclaiming the message, your godly duties and heavenly labor. But on the seventh, the solemn promise from Shebi, which fulfills and satisfies those who listen and are observant to the role of the seventh day. The Sabbath, the Shabbat, the seventh day, the time of observance. The time when we consider the promise to settle all disputes so that we can settle down with Yahweh, our Elohim, God. You shall not do lo ashah, prepare or produce, fashion or finish, accomplish any part of the work of God's representative and messenger. It's from Malacca, which is from Malak, the ministry and mission of the heavenly envoy, the divine endeavors and labor of God's corporeal manifestation. Yourself, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servants and employees, nor your means of production, behema, your animals, your beasts of burden, nor those visitors, foreigners, who relationally are in your home, property, and community, sa'ar, the area enclosed by a door, gate, a household, an assembly, a city, even a nation. For indeed, he, because surely, in six, shesh, symbolic of mankind, being bleached white and purified, days Yahweh made, he asah, labored and produced, fashioned and finished, instituted and celebrated accordingly, the heavens, which is the spiritual realm, and the earth, the material world, and the seas, the waters, and all which relation lays in them. And he became completely settled, nuach, rested after settling all unresolved issues. Settle down after doing all of the work which needed to be done. During the seventh, which is Shabi, the solemn promise which fulfills and satisfies those who listened and are observant of the role of the seventh day. Therefore, consequently, from Ken, this is true and correct, Yahweh, blessed and adored, we know that word is Barak, knelt down and lowered himself to greet those he had created and lift them up on the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the seventh day, the time of observance, of rest and reflection, and of ceasing and desisting from ordinary labor, to consider the promise from Shabbat God has made to settle our debts and to settle us in his home. This day, setting it apart, Kodesh, separating it from others, dedicating it to separation unto God, to cleansing and purifying all derivatives of Kodesh. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. We have been asked to follow Yahweh's example, resting on the seventh day, so that we can remember and reflect upon his promise that he has made to us and now has fulfilled, to settle our debts and resolve every issue which has separated us. Considering what he has done, diminishing himself to serve us on this day, it's hardly too much to ask. So while the simplistic view of this commandment tells us to observe the Sabbath, the deeper spiritual message is that Yahweh has promised to save us so long as we rest and rely upon him to do his job. And it is his job. Now the six commandments which follow are ordered according to their significance, a fact suggested by the word which begins the next commandment. And we'll just mention this, and then we'll go on and we will talk a lot more about the Sabbath. But the beginning of the second of seven commandments, instructions, begins with Kabed, which is significant. The word means significant. And it's important that you know that these instructions are in fact ordered, although they are not numbered, according to their kabod significance. The Hebrew verb, habitually translated honor, in the context of these commandments, actually means heavy or weighty. And while this word and its derivatives appear 376 times in the Torah, Prophet, and Psalms, there are only two passages, both in Samuel, where kabod can be translated literally as weighty or heavy. On all of the other occasions, we are required to render kabod symbolically, using phrases like very significant, awesomely impressive, great, massive, and enormous, valuable and beneficial, worthy of respect, honorable, and weighty in the sense of something which is especially important to consider carefully. Therefore, with Kabed, we are being alerted not only to the relative significance of each of the commandments as they are delineated in decreasing importance, but also of the importance of using symbolism to understand them. All of that is communicated by the first word of the second of seven commandments, Kabed. Of course, many of you know that Kabed is the word that is the verb that tells us how we are to look at our mother and father. And we know, based upon the introduction to these seven instructions, where Yahweh talked about fathers condemning their own children based upon their willingness to twist and corrupt and pervert Yahweh's testimony, that he is not contradicting himself here in telling us to honor and to view as extraordinarily significant our earthly mom and dad, the very people who he has said in his second codicil of his introduction are condemning their own children, but instead that the father and mother represent our heavenly father and spiritual mother, the only ones who can prolong our time in the land. Now, since the most important insights are derived by understanding the Sabbath, let's turn now to the Torah's final perspective on this instruction. This is now from Deuteronomy 5:12. It says, "You shall observe, shamar, be aware of, pay attention to, carefully consider, revere, cling to, and be secure in, keep and rely upon the Sabbath." Now, in this case, Zakar has been replaced with shamar. Zakar is to memorialize, to remember. Shamar is to carefully observe, to be aware of, to pay attention to consider, to revere. Very similar concepts. They're not contradictory, but instead complementary. Observe it, remember it, recall it, consider it. So you shall observe Shamar, the Sabbath, Shabbat, the seventh day, the time of rest and reflection, to observe the fulfillment of God's solemn promise to settle us in his home and to settle all disputes, completely satisfying us so that we can celebrate this day. All of that is a derivative of Shabbat. And at this day, the Shabbat, the Sabbath, is a day set apart, separating it for purification, making it special. The expanded definition of Kodesh is Yahweh your God instructed, Shawah, commanded and directed. The seventh day remains paramount in its importance to God. Our Creator asked us to observe it, appreciating its significance. And that is accomplished when we rest and reflect on the work that he has done to settle our debts so that we can settle down and camp out with him. Now imagine Christianity, where the Roman Catholic Church, early in Constantine's reign as emperor and general, decreed that anyone who observed the Sabbath would be killed, and that all things that were described to be done on the Sabbath will now be done on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And imagine having the gall, the hubris to think that this man's and this church's, this human institution's contradiction, direct, overt contradiction of God's instruction is more meritorious than what God wrote with his own hand. And yet all of the Protestant churches, following in the footsteps of the perverted Roman Catholic Church before them, have ignored the Sabbath, completely ignored it, irrelevant to them, and instead have followed the footsteps of Roman Catholicism and observed Satan's Day, Sunday, instead. Even worshiping, bowing down in a religious setting, doing everything contrary to God's first instruction and to his introduction. So reading on in Deuteronomy, we read 6, which is from Shes, the purification by bleaching mankind, is be the meaning behind this. It's represented by 6 in white. You know, it's not only is Sheth 6, but it speaks of purification by bleaching white. 6 days, therefore. You shall labor doing your ordinary work, and so it's abad. And you shall do all of your spiritual service, malacha. Work associated with declaring heaven's message from Malach, the spiritual messenger and heavenly representative. But on the 7th, from Shebi, solemn promise which fulfills and satisfies, especially those who listen and are observant of the rule of the 7th day, observe the Sabbath. This is a verb. This is Shabbat as a verb. Means to observe the Sabbath. So Shabbat is both a proper noun, the name of the seventh day of the week, and a verb, Shabbat. Unto Yahweh, your Elohim, God. On it you shall not do al-lo'ash, any spiritual service, malacha. Work associated with declaring heaven's message from Malach, a spiritual messenger and heavenly representative. Not you, not your son, daughter, male or female servants, animals or means of production, domesticated animals, or foreigners, ger, your visitors from different places and races, which are within your gates, spiritually resting and reflecting, settling down, ruach, with you. The message is that Yahweh, by way of his spiritual representative and heavenly messenger, has already accomplished everything which was required to ransom and reconcile us. Now, he did not only for those who first read and saw and heard this declaration, these instructions from Yahweh, as he had just finished liberating them from judgment, from religious and political oppression in Egypt. Demonstrably demonstrating his salvation through Passover, Matzah, and Bukkudim. And now celebrating Shavuot with the declaration of these instructions. So he had demonstrated to them tangibly, had already done the work to liberate them. And of course now, he has fulfilled his promise of Passover, of Matzah and Bukkotim, even of Shabuah, to save us. And of course, because God exists in a state where time simply is, at the time he wrote this, he had already done. He had already fulfilled all of this and was simply reporting back to them that it was something he had done. There was nothing left for us to do. So we were encouraged to rest and reflect on what he has done to settle our debts so that we could settle down in his home. The verse which follows is virtually identical to the Exodus 20 text. But in it, we find two additional reasons the Sabbath is important. Previously, Yahweh told us that it was the day he rested and reflected after 6 days of creation. We were told that it was the day that he would bow down, as we've just recalled, to greet us, to extol us, lifting us up. Now, further tying the Sabbath to our salvation, he speaks of being mindful and remembering, which is to reflect. So this now includes Zakar, which we found in Exodus 20. So it begins, you should be mindful. Zakar, you should remember, you should recall, you should be thoughtful that indeed you existed as a slave. You were in bondage in the realm of the crucible of Egypt. By the way, it is important that we know what the crucible of Egypt, what Mitzrayim represents. Because all of us have been there. Not just these children of Israel gathered at the base of Mount Horeb in what is today the Arabian Peninsula. Because Mitzrayim on its face represents religious and political oppression. That's where, based upon the sun god religion and the integration of religion and politics in Egypt, the children of Israel were enslaved. Their free will was stolen from them. They were forced to work for their survival based upon the oppression of the integration of religion and politics. We've all been there. And of course, the crucible, which is what Mitzrayim means, is symbolic of judgment, where good is separated from bad. And we all are in a state where we are incapable on our own of escaping judgment. But with the work that Yahweh has done through his spiritual representative, we are all freed from judgment. So he says, you should be mindful, Zakar. You should remember and recall, being thoughtful, that indeed you existed as a slave. You were in bondage, speaking to all of us, in the realm of the crucible of Egypt, Mitzrayim, to judgment, to political and religious oppression. And Yahweh, your Elohim, your God, led and brought you out, Yasa, personally descended and extended himself to serve from there with a strong and mighty hand, Shizak Yad, a firm and resolute, authoritative and capable hand, which prevailed against a loud and severe spirit, in this case Satan. And with and by the way of the Almighty's outstretched, this is Nata, which is by giving and revealing, by bending down and inclining, an inclined extension, and camping out by setting apart a Zeruah, sacrificial lamb, the arm strong enough to shoulder the burden. So you should be mindful that indeed you existed as a slave in the realm of Mitzrayim, the crucible of judgment, religious and political oppression. And Yahweh, your God, led you out, descended and extended himself to serve from there with a strong and mighty hand, and with the Almighty's outstretched sacrificial lamb, Zeruah. The Zeruah sacrificial lamb chapter of Yada Yahweh, many of you have read it, emphatically demonstrates that Scripture defines Zeruah as the sacrificial lamb. It is mostly translated the arm, even though the term is plural. But in that chapter, we examined the vast preponderances of the use of Zeruah in Scripture, including all of its initial uses, where Yahweh goes about defining his term. And there is just no question. Zeruah is the sacrificial lamb of God. And in this particular case, it is the Almighty's outstretched sacrificial lamb that led us away from judgment, from human religious and political oppression. It is how God descended and extended himself to serve us. The Zeruah is the lamb who is slaughtered in Isaiah 53 to bear the burdens, the burden of our sins. According to Yeshayahu's inspired prophetic testimony, he is the Messiah, Yeshua, our Savior. This Lamb is the outstretched hand of the Mighty One. He is the one who adored us enough to diminish himself, extending and manifesting himself as a man, bowing down to our level to greet us and lift us up by redeeming us, by fulfilling Pesach and Matzah and Bukurim, by tying the Sabbath to Yahweh's mighty hand, to his sacrificial lamb, to the liberation of his children from judgment and human, religious, and political oppression. Yahweh has revealed insights which are germane to our salvation, to our understanding of the Sabbath. All of these things are connected. They are all related. The Sabbath, or the seventh day, is the day of the sacrificial Lamb of God, and therefore the day of our redemption. It is the day we were emancipated, the day Yehudim, those of us who are related to Yah, were freed from the house of bondage, from the crucible, from works-based salvation schemes, from judgment. So that means that Yahweh conceived and consecrated a plan in which he would set the ultimate example of what to do on the seventh day. He engraved the plan of 6+1 of man with God in stone with his own finger, and then he demonstrated this principle tangibly by freeing his family from man's oppressive schemes. This connection of the Sabbath with God personally leading us out from judgment, from works-based salvation schemes, from human, religious, and political oppression, by way of the Almighty's outstretched sacrificial lamb, Zeruah, is so incredibly important as it relates to Shabbat as a verb, to observing the Sabbath for what it symbolizes, which is precisely what this Deuteronomic explanation of the Sabbath set into the context of Yahweh's seven instructions is telling us. I mean, this is what follows the verb Shabbat, observing the Sabbath. More than all of this, even, Natah, which was translated outstretched, which is, you know, a term that you just would just read right over and just say, outstretched, no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It tells us that Yahweh, in the form of Yeshua, Natah, pitched his tent with us. He tabernacled with us. He observed Sukkah with us. He camped out with us. Natah explains that God gave us the gift of his Son. He revealed him to us in order to reveal himself, for Natah means to reveal. Natah, by conveying the idea of bending down as an inclined extension, affirms the meaning of Barak in this context, of God diminishing himself to lift us up. Natah affirms that Yeshua is Yahweh on his knees, his diminished corporeal manifestation, part of God, set apart, extended from himself to serve us. What a magnificent way in this word to explain the gift, the corporeal manifestation, the diminishment of Yahweh camping out with us, all conveyed through this word, Natah. That's why I love amplification. When we dig into the nuggets of truth that are found in the lexicons, we find that Yahweh goes to great lengths to explain every aspect of his plan of salvation as he is associating his work, the Malacha, the work of his spiritual envoy, on the Shabbat, with not only the sacrificial lamb, but also with him leading us away from judgment, from works-based salvation schemes, from human oppression, both religious and political, by way of an outstretched Natah, a gift, something set apart, diminished as a manifestation which reveals something essential. Natah, therefore, embodies the purpose and the symbolism of the Moed Mikra, especially of Sukkah, of the seventh called-out assembly meeting of tabernacles, where Yahweh will camp out with his creation for 1,000 years, just as he did with us when we were protected in the joyous enclosure of Eden, which is gone, for garden means shelter, protective shelter. Sukkah and Eden are therefore synonymous. We will return in the millennial Sabbath from which we came. We return to the garden, where in the cool of the day we walk with Yahweh. It is also indicative of a Sabbath day in the fall of 2 BCE, when Yahweh entered our world to tabernacle with us, using Yahuchanan's declaration, demarking the time that a child was born to us and a son was given to us, who was Almighty God. It all comes together in this one word, Natah, of how in 2 BCE this child was born and tabernacled with us, a son was given to us, so that ultimately we could camp out with God during the millennial Sabbath, the seventh day. And it was on a Sabbath, as we all know, in 33 CE, Saturday, April 2nd, on the Moed Mikra of Matzah, that the Messiah Yeshua fulfilled his promise by bowing his soul down into the depths of Sheol, personally paying the price on the seventh day to settle our debts, settling all of the disputes required to redeem us, lifting us up on the Moed Mikra of Bakurim, so that we could Bakar, be among the first children born anew into our Heavenly Father's family. And so it will be on the seventh day, on the seventh Mikra, that the seventh millennia of mankind will commence, ushering in a millennial Sabbath of rest for 1,000 years, a time of 6+1 of man living in the presence of God. Paradise indeed. This tells us that God's plan is consistent right from the beginning, a plan he has revealed to us in his Torah, in his prophets, in his Psalms. Everything of consequence happens on his schedule, a schedule that is manifest by and is delineated in the promise of the Shabbat, seventh day. And this, my friends, is one of many reasons why Sunday worship is so deceitful, so destructive, so deadly and damning. Like lost sheep, religious Christians cast Yahweh's plan of salvation aside, trusting instead in the repulsive edicts of men. They are lost without a program, blind without a guide. Sunday leads to the sun god. The Sabbath leads to Yahweh. Continuing to explore what Yahweh revealed regarding the Sabbath, we learn. Therefore, in this manner, kin, likewise, Yahweh, your Elohim, your God, instructed, provided direction. I mean, think of this, the power of this last passage we've just read. And then God saying, hey, therefore, in this manner, Yahweh your God has provided you with directions and instructions for you to observe. Now, Shamar here is from the Dead Sea Scrolls for Dut, whereas the Masoretic text authored Asah for you to do. But instructions, directions are for us to observe, which is why the Dead Sea Scrolls reports it as such. Shamar, to be aware of, to pay attention to, carefully consider, revere, cling to, be secure in, rely upon. Therefore, in this manner, Yahweh your God instructed, he provided the direction for you to observe, for you to pay attention to and carefully consider the Shabbat, the Sabbath, the seventh day, the time to rest and reflect on God's fulfillment of his solemn promise to settle the disputes which separate us, settling our debts, completely satisfying them so that we could celebrate this day, setting it apart, Kodesh, separating it so that we can be purified, making it special. Again, Kodesh is from the Dead Sea Scrolls, 4Q Dut. It's not found in the Masoretic text. I've just shared with you the Dead Sea Scrolls version of Deuteronomy 5:15. So it is in the context of his sacrificial lamb, of God saving us from judgment and human religious and political oppression, that we observe our Heavenly Father's Shabbat instructions. Powerful stuff. What follows is found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, also from the same 4Q Dut text, but not in the Masoretic text, which is the rabbinical text. It reads, "For indeed, in 6 days Yahweh made, he asah, prepared and produced, he fashioned and finished, he instituted and celebrated accordingly the heavens, which is the spiritual realm, shamayim, and the earth, eretz, the material world, and the seas, the waters, yam, and all which relationally is in them, and he became completely settled, nuach. He rested, having settled all unresolved issues so as to settle down with us. During the seventh, which is Shabi, solemn promise which fulfills and satisfies those who listen and are observant of the role of the seventh day. Therefore, consequently, this is true and correct from Ken. Yahweh blessed and adored Barak. He knelt down. He lowered himself to greet those he had created to lift them up on the Shabbat, Sabbath, the seventh day, the time of observance, of rest and reflection, of ceasing and desisting from ordinary labor to consider the promised day, setting it apart, Kodesh, separating it from all others, dedicating it to separation, cleansing, and purification. Shabbat is comprised of three letters. The first is Shin. It was represented pictorially by teeth in ancient Hebrew and thus symbolized language and words, instructions and directions, in addition to nourishment. So Shin, language and words, instructions, directions, and nourishment. Therefore, it isn't a coincidence that Shama, also with a shin, means to listen. And Shamar, which begins with a shin, means to observe. Words that we've seen sprinkled, particularly Shamar, throughout this text. The letter Beth, which is the second of the three letters which comprise Sabbat, was originally depicted in ancient Hebrew by using a graphic representation of a sheltered enclosure and home, and thus symbolized being part of a family and living inside of a sheltered environment, a home. As affirmation of this, Beth, family and home, and Berith, familial covenant relationship, both begin with Beth. The Hebrew letter, the final Hebrew letter, by the way, in Shabbat, is Tau. It was conveyed in Paleo-Hebrew, actually in ancient Hebrew, pictorially, using an upright pillar with a cross member, signifying the mark, the sign, the symbol, the message of the upright pillar in the doorway of Passover, all of which are symbolic of Yeshua. For example, Torah is God's message depicting how the upright pillar will become the doorway of heaven, and it begins with the letter Ta. Therefore, the Shin Beth Ta of Shabbat in ancient Hebrew pictorially convey instructions regarding being in the family and home established by the upright pillar on Passover. Read that again to you. Therefore, the Shin Beth Ta of Shabbat pictorially in ancient Hebrew convey instructions regarding being in the family, in the sheltered home, which is established by the upright pillar on Passover, by God's tangible symbol and sign. Remember in Genesis 1, on the fourth day, where Yahweh says that the greater light will become visible to you as a sign, specifically using the term oath, sign, and moed for memorializing a meeting with God. It's a greater light that became visible to us as a sign. And this is indeed what he's talking about, fulfilling that promise. Now, there are seven essential insights, which I see as being encased in the in Shabbat. And I thought I'd share them with you. The primary spiritual message, of course, is that we cannot work for our salvation. Yahweh alone provides the way and the means. If we want to be with him, we must rest and rely on him to Nuach, settle us safely in his home, completely settling all unresolved issues related to our adoption into his family. My conclusion is that's the primary meaning of what it means to Shabbat, observe the Sabbath. That we cannot work for our salvation, which is why Yahweh has specifically said that he's the one, that it was his Zeruah, sacrificial lamb, that it was his hand that personally led us away from judgment, from religious and political oppression. That's why we can't do any of the work of the heavenly messenger, the Malacha, on this day. The primary message is that we cannot earn our own salvation, but that God has provided a way, done everything that was required, and all we need to do is rely on him. Second, we are asked to Kodesh, to set apart time for Yahweh, prioritizing our relationship with God, getting to know him better. The Shabbat is designed to Yada Yahweh. It is a special time to reflect on our relationship. That's what it means to Shabbat, observe the Sabbath. Remember, he's used three really important terms in relationship to this Deuteronomic presentation. To Zakar, to remember, right? To remember. You can't remember something you don't understand. He wants us to remember what he has done for us on the Sabbath, to recall it. He's used Shamar. He wants us to carefully consider, to observe what he has done on this day. And then he's even talking about the idea that this Sawa, that therefore in this manner Yahweh your God instructed, provided direction for you to Shamar, observe the Sabbath. And so we need to Sawah, to Shamar, to Zakar, to heed this instruction, to carefully observe his witness, his testimony, and to remember what he has said, Zakar. I think that's the second meaning of the Sabbath, and that it is defined in this word Kodesh, which means set it apart. Make it special as a time to Yada Yahweh, because it's the time that Yahweh purifies and cleanses us, Kodesh. Third, the Sabbath is a time to celebrate Yahweh's Shabbat. You know, Shabbat is based upon Shabbat, the root. Shabbat means to promise. Yes, indeed. This is Yahweh's promise, which is to save us. He has sworn an oath, Shabbat. He has sworn an oath, and he has made a solemn vow, Shabbat, to save us, even adopt us, allowing us to live with him in his home, if only we will listen to our Heavenly Father and follow his advice. In this light, Shabbat is the satisfactory fulfillment of an oath or promise. Fourth, the Sabbath is defined by Shema, listening to, and Shamar, closely observing, Yahweh and his word. The better we hear, the more diligently we examine, the closer we grow to God. You know, this whole notion of Paul's, pray without ceasing, we should babble on to an unknown God and a caricature. There is a resting aspect of quietly reflecting that is conveyed in the Sabbath. And of course, this idea is that if you want to listen to what God has to say, if you want to hear his voice, gotta be quiet. I don't learn from God by talking to God. Yeah, I talk to him. But that's not how I learn. I learn by listening to him. And you know when I hear his voice the most loudly, the most clearly? It's when I examine the choice of words that he used to communicate with you and me. That's when I hear him. That's how I listen to him. He's got to be quiet, to prioritize time with him. To Shabbat, to listen to his promises, to Shema, Shamar, listen and closely observe what he has said. So that's fourth. Fifth, man, who is represented by the number six, the day upon which we were created, in addition to God, who is one, equates to Sheba, seven. Well, Shabbat is based upon Sheba, the Hebrew word for seven. It's the answer. It is the formula which describes the Shabbat of being completely satisfied and fulfilled, lacking in nothing. Sheba, seven, Shabbat, being completely satisfied and fulfilled, lacking in nothing. This not only depicts Yahweh's plan of salvation, it describes the result. Creation, like salvation, is an equation. We've talked about this so many times, that God calculated exactly how much energy he had to put into the system to generate this desired result. For human history to play out over 7 days, and for creation to play out over an equal amount of time, at least from his perspective, at creation. Yahweh's redemptive plan is based on 6 plus 1. Which is also depicted in the 7 Moed Mikre, and of course emblazoned in the Shabbat, in the Sabbath. It begins with a sacrifice at Passover and concludes with a celebration of our relationship during the 7 days of tabernacles, of sukkah, of shelters. The sixth lesson embedded in the Sabbath, Shabbat, I see as being prophetic. All human history, as well as Yahweh's plan of salvation, unfolds based upon the pattern of 6 plus 1. This is the key to unlocking God's timeline. Now let's talk about this for a moment. Adam's choice to separate from God, disrupting the equation, occurred in 3968 BCE. Let's call that year 1 on Yahweh's calendar. Noah's flood took place 1,000 years later in 2968 BCE. That would be 1,000 Yah. And now we have the impetus for that flood, which was the asteroid hit at precisely that time, which flooded the entire region of where humankind with the Nesama lived. 1,000 Yah. Abraham's reliance on Yahweh and his willingness to listen to and trust God facilitated the ratification of the covenant on Mount Moriah in 1968 BCE. It's now 2000 Yah. Yahweh's tabernacle was constructed by Solomon, 968 BCE. We know this date precisely. It is now year 3000 Yah. The tabernacle is the tangible symbol for the Messiah, for God's covenant with us, for his plan of salvation. Exactly 1,000 years later, and 40 yobel from the covenant's commencement with Abraham, Yeshua enabled that very covenant on Mount Moriah, fulfilling the Moed Mikra, a Pesach Passover, matzah, unleavened bread, and Bukkotim first fruits. In the Yobel year of 33 CE, Yobel means Yahweh's Lamb is God. It's based on 7 sevens plus 1. Same pattern as Bukkotim. Same pattern as, not as Bukkotim, but as Shabuah. Same pattern as the Sabbath. So with his fulfillment of these three dates in the Obel of 33 CE, we were now celebrating year 4000 Yah in the fourth millennia of humankind, the fourth day of creation. Then in 1033, which is year 5000 Yah, Moriah's spring was poisoned, consistent with the Torah's test for infidelity. And the seventh, there are multiple literal, spiritual, and prophetic teachings embedded in most everything Yahweh communicates. The word comes alive when we search for them, and I think that is the seventh essential teaching that is associated with observing the Sabbath. Think deeply. Examine closely. Think of everything that you possibly can that Yahweh has communicated. Remember it. View it as an instruction. Observe it. Listen to it. And the more you think, the more you examine, the closer you look, the more the word will come alive. And that brings us now to what is the second of seven divine instructions. This commandment reads, carefully consider, highly value, respect and honor accordingly your father and mother for the purpose of lengthening your days within the land which relationally Yahweh your God has given to you. Exodus 20:12. On the surface, apart from symbolism, God appears to be saying that we should respect our parents and that by doing so we'll live longer lives. But no, that is not what he's saying. More fully amplified, this commandment reads, carefully consider, view as worthy, enormously valuable and significant, respected honor, kabed, was the word that we examined earlier to understand the relative significance of these instructions as they are delineated in this particular order. This is the second most important, the second most significant, kabed. It means to perceive as awesomely impressive and important, intensely relevant, extremely great, massive and glorious, kabed and kabud, which means splendor and glory, the same word essentially. So carefully consider, view as worthy, enormously valuable and significant, respect and honor, see as splendiferous and glorious accordingly. Your father, Abba, and your mother, Emma, biological, adoptive, or spiritual mother, for the purpose of lengthening, arak, elongating and prolonging, growing and continuing your days, yom, within and upon all the land. Now the land here is not from Eretz, it's from Adama. And that ought to tell us a lot, because Adama is used infrequently to communicate land, and Eretz is used frequently. Adama is from Adam, the name of the first man created in God's image, which relationally Yahweh your God has given to you, Netan La, has produced, provided, and bestowed freely to you as a gift. So, carefully observe, view as worthy, enormously valuable and significant, respect and honor, kabed, perceive as awesomely impressive and important, intensely relevant, extremely great, massive and glorious, accordingly, your father and mother, for the purpose of lengthening, arak, elongating and prolonging, growing and continuing your days within and upon the land, which relationally, Asher, and that land was Adama, Yahweh your God has given to you as a gift, Netan La. Exodus 20:12. considering that these instructions are listed in the order of their relevance, and that kibed is a symbolic term, that's why we considered the fact that kibed can only be translated symbolically, and thereby Yahweh is telling us something. It means to weigh heavily. And therefore it is always translated symbolically, as is eth, which is the contracted form of oath, the Hebrew word for symbolism, which is, by the way, the second word in this statement. So kibed, a symbolic term, and eth, which was I rendered as accordingly, also a symbolic term, based, which eth is, by the way, the contracted form of oath, which is the Hebrew word for symbol, for sign. So with these two words at the beginning of this instruction, we are compelled to consider this instruction metaphorically, symbolically.